Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I am Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
I'm Aaron McMahon.
The Michigan football team is halfway through the season and still undefeated after a wild, wacky win at Nebraska. We discuss the game and all of its implications coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys. This game had some bizarre calls by the refs. Not necessarily wrong, just unusual. It had some plays that will live in the Michigan football highlight reels for a long time. It had four late lead changes. Aaron, what was it like to be there?
Well, the atmosphere was cool. I was telling someone earlier today, I thought this is my first trip to Nebraska. It was Michigan's first trip in 9 or 10 years or whatever. Yeah. Jim Harbaugh had never been there as a player or as a coach. So it was new to a lot of us. I thought the atmosphere was incredible. I thought it was probably top two, top three in the Big Ten. Probably Penn State would probably be one, maybe Ohio State. You know, obviously we're spoiled because of the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, but I'd put Nebraska right up there. But it was fun. I mean, it was a sellout, legitimate sellout, and the 87,000 plus. They came ready too.
Watching came ready. Home, yeah. What do you think, Sue?
Came ready and left disappointed.
there you
another
go.
Another Scott Frost loss in a big game. Who would have thought?
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, you want to keep saying, oh, they're the best three-loss team, but the best four, like they're trending to just be, yeah, they're one of the best teams to not qualify for a bowl or whatever. You know, it's this way it's going for them.
I don't know the rest of their schedule, but they'll probably, I don't know. I think they have to get to six wins, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they're in the Big Ten West, so I would hope so.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, they're at Minnesota. They got Purdue. Ohio State at home, at Wisconsin and Iowa. I mean, those last three, Ohio State, at Wisconsin, Iowa, you know, those are tough, and they're at three wins right now. They're 3-4. They got, you know, they played seven games already, so they have five left. Got to get three of them. Yeah, got to go 3-2 down the stretch here. I'm not sure it's going to happen for them. But we'll see. But that's not what we're talking about. Michigan is already bowl eligible. How about that? They've equaled the number of games they played last season, and you know, they went 2-4, as we know. Now they've won them all, 6-0. I definitely think we should be talking, as we have now for a few weeks, expectations changing for the season and kind of the total number of losses this team could possibly have. But first, let's just talk about this game. And I don't even know how to really begin. I try to outline this thing a little bit chronologically, but I don't know. Feel free to just throw some stuff out.
I didn't know where to begin when I was writing the game story live. I'm like, where do I start with this thing? And I don't think I got much up. But, I mean, the second, as you mentioned, the second half was the story of the game. I mean, yep. It, just the back-and-forth nature, big plays, both sides, Michigan defense coming up big again after it played relatively well in the first half. It obviously had some lapses there early in the second, but it was, I think I wrote on Twitter that it was an S show. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on the
Wolverine Confidential podcast. We don't have that explicit tag. I've checked. So we want to keep it that way.
So, but that's what it was. I don't think it was great football. It was down and dirty and gritty Big Ten football. And for Michigan, at least, I mean, they got a good one on the road. You can say what you want about Nebraska, but that's two weeks in a row now. Michigan has gone on the road in relatively tough environments and come out victorious. So
32-29 was the final. I feel like for posterity's sake, you know, for our listeners who, I don't know, the one out there who didn't watch the game, that was the final, 32-29. We need to get that in here in the first few minutes.
Just the exact score we all predicted.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, I mean, in the end, Michigan, I take some solace. Michigan covered that 2.5 number. I mean, it was moving around, but, you know, I feel like the bulk of the week, the line was under 3. So it got to 3 by kick, is that what you're saying, Aaron?
No, I thought it was 3 most of the week, and it got to 2.5 at kick.
No, okay. Well, there we go. Bottom line is our predictions all predicted Michigan to cover, and they did. So people following that got a win. Yeah, I was thinking more it'd be tight, and Michigan would maybe, you know, need a drive to put this game away late and would get it to win, you know, to go up to win by 10, I think is what I had. Instead, it was to actually win the game. Aaron, you said it wasn't great football, and I don't disagree with that, but it had some great plays. I was chatting with my younger brother earlier today, and he didn't get to see much of the game. He's a Notre Dame fan. I was watching that one, also ended 32-29, by the way. I said, just, you know, Google Hassan Haskins hurdle, because there's several others, but that one, usually when there's a hurdle, then you kind of go down right after that. It was like he was doing the hurdles and just didn't break stride.
And he didn't even slow down to do the hurdle either. That was the most remarkable thing. It was like hurdle, and then it was crazy.
Yeah, there wasn't that stutter step leading up to it. Yeah, you're right. I imagine that was that, you know, when you're on the road there, Aaron, I guess, you know, the crowd, they're not, the reaction isn't going to be, they're not happy about it, but man, they had to be kind of stunned, I suppose.
Yeah. There was a lot of gasp, I think, in the press box and the crowd just by what they saw. And like you guys said, how it kind of came about and how kind of free flowing it was. I mean, he just didn't, like you said, didn't break stride. It was, he picked up like 10 or 15 yards after the actual hurdle. So like,
yeah.
Yeah, there were some good plays. I mean, Mike Sanders still, I think, had a nice catch early where he had to reach out and grab the ball for a pass from Cade McNamara. There were some good plays. I mean, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't neither team's finest outing. I mean, they each, I think, had 6 penalties. There was some sloppy football, turnovers on both sides of the ball. But, you know, I think I said this after the game. I wrote on MLive.com. This was the type of game I think that Michigan needed to win, a game where they fall behind. And
for the first time all season
and on the road. And I think they learned something about themselves here. You know, you could say all you want about the win last week at Wisconsin, how great it was. And it was a good win. Don't get me wrong. But aside from that blip, you know, late in the second quarter, Michigan dominated that game. That wasn't the case here. They played okay in the first half. They probably should have had a bigger lead at halftime. It should have easily been probably 17-0, 3-score lead. But either way, I mean, it wasn't enough to stem Nebraska's explosive offense. That was a thing, you know, that statistically this game was relatively close on both sides. Nebraska was a little bit more explosive, with the passing game. But, you know, Michigan did like they have before. They controlled the clock and made the most of their opportunities when they got them, especially in that second half. I thought they responded really well.
Another highlight play we have to mention, of course, is Dax Hill's interception. That was incredible as well. Kind of seeing the replays over and over, and it just became even more amazing. There were some weird calls, like I alluded to earlier. It just kind of like made me laugh. I mean, Nebraska was whistled for disconcerting signals, which I know of that. I've seen it called before. I'm just not sure that phrase was used to describe it. Basically kind of simulating the snap count or whatever.
And Cade McNamara, we talked to Cade and Jim Harbaugh after the game, and they both said Nebraska was doing it a bunch they kept having to call it out to the officials during the game. And then they finally got a flag, and they said that kind of stopped Nebraska from doing it. But they said they were doing it countless times. Jim Harbaugh wasn't happy about it. You know, he was asked about it in the postgame press conference, as was Cade. I don't know how much they were doing it, but it sounds like they were doing it more than just that one occasion where Nebraska was flagged for it.
That sounds like a Scott Frost team thing to do for sure.
And then there was the, you know, AJ Henning drops the punt, and joint possession is what ends up getting called. Again, it reminded me of, like, you know, tie goes to the runner in baseball, tie goes to the receiving team, the offensive team, whatever you want to call it. I've seen it on a catch before, you know, a catch in the end zone or wherever, where kind of the defender has hands on the ball too, but never on a fumble recovery. It's like, but there we had it.
So that was a first for me. I've heard disconcerting singles a few times, but yeah, okay. The joint possession, I was like, okay.
I think the most egregious call of the game was like how short they spotted Hassan Haskins' run, that they were like 3 yards short. Like, I remember watching the replay and it looked at least two. They came back and gave him 3 more yards on the spot. It was
did look like he was going down, like his knees were pretty close there, and like the one player was blocking the one side. So I mean, I could see, like, I mean, I'm surprised they didn't review it right away. That's what I was surprised about. I can see them being like, oh yeah, maybe I thought his knee was down, but for them to refuse to review it until Harbaugh called the timeout, that's like, well, all right, come on guys, what are we doing here?
Not only that, but Harbaugh called timeout to try and convince them to look at it, and they didn't decide to look at it until halfway through the timeout. Like, I think they went to timeout, TV went to commercial, and we literally sat there for probably a good minute, you know, 90 seconds before the officials finally came up and said, okay, we're going to review the call. And it's like, what have you been doing for the last minute and a half? Like, what changed?
It was bizarre. And there were a lot. This was a tough commercial game, I thought, kind of. Zook, did you agree? I'm on Fox for their games, but this one was, I don't know. There seemed like a lot of stoppages and
when I'm running live updates and trying to write like the stock report and a bunch of things, I'm not minding the commercial breaks.
Gotcha. Fair enough. Yeah. So I don't know. Like, what was the, you know, let me add one more thing. It wasn't a highlight play, but I mean, Jake Moody, pretty darn clutch, 4 for 4 field goals. Like, he's maybe not an unsung hero. I think he's probably getting his due for what he did in this game. But yeah, that's a real nice, luxury to have such a reliable kicker as Michigan has.
Yeah, he's 12 of 13 on the season, you know, and we asked him this week or last week when we spoke to him, but like, he's the guy now, you know. Last couple of years, he'd been sharing kicks and sharing duties with Quinn Nordine. And when you do that, you know, if you talk to a kicking coach or someone, you know, familiar with that, you know, industry, like, those guys need to be in rhythm. They need confidence. They need to know when they're going to be the guy. And I think, you know, Michigan's juggling of kickers the last couple of years didn't do their guys any favors. And now that, you know, Jake is the guy, I think it certainly helps them. You know, we asked him last week and he agreed. You know, he's like, knowing that he's going to be the guy making all the kicks certainly helps. And so far he's been reliable. I mean, I don't think he has the strength of a leg that Quinn Nordine had. Now, we saw the long kick a couple of weeks ago, but he's been remarkably accurate and consistent. And that's really, when it comes to kickers and special teams, that's all I can ask for.
This game had so many different potential like turning points. There's no like right answer here or whatever, but you know, I would like to point out the, you know, Nebraska scores and then McNamara throws his first ever pick, first career interception. Nebraska comes back on the very next play and hits a touchdown to take the lead. Now Michigan trails, as we said, for the first time all season, and they respond with a 10 play, 75 yard touchdown drive to retake the lead. Now I know that Nebraska gets it back, you know, right away too, but that was huge. But yeah, that, I mean, I'll just kind of use that to open up any conversations about kind of what went on late in this game.
I will say this. I think Cade McNamara said told ESPN right after the game, or ABC, that this team is different. And in the years past, we don't win this game. And even when McNamara threw that interception in Nebraska's story, I'm like, I still think Michigan is going to win this game. I felt like they were going to find a way to guard it out. Partly is because I still don't think Nebraska is that good of a team. But I just think that their defense would find a way or come up with a stop. They would get a key touchdown, and they did, and come out with the victory. And sure enough, that's what happened. But I do think that at least against teams like this, like Nebraska, that Michigan can grind out a win and come out victorious.
Can I be honest for a second? After Michigan tied the game originally, it was at 29-29 with that field goal, and Nebraska got the ball back with, what was it, 3 minutes left or whatever it was. I thought they were going to win the game. I mean, they had scored a touchdown in their three previous drives. Michigan's defense had shown they were having troubles with Adrian. You know, that whole second half, it seemed like we saw a different Adrian Martinez. He was, you know, getting out and open. It seemed like every throw he was making was for long yards. They were having trouble stopping him. And I thought that was going to be the case. I figured they were going to march back down the field and get some points, whether it was a field goal or a touchdown. But then they came up with that big defensive stop. I think that, I mean, of all the plays of the game, I think that might have been the biggest one. I mean, it certainly shifted, gave Michigan the ball back and the chance to win there. But that, from a timing perspective, Michigan couldn't have come up with a bigger defensive play there. Kudos to Brad Hawkins for not only making the play, but the recognizing, that he could make the play.
And Martinez had the first down on that play too, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was right near it.
He was right there. And it was one of those where, watching at least on TV, you're kind of like, okay, why haven't they kind of stopped it? It seems like the whistle should blow here. And then, you realize after the fact, oh, it's because he didn't have the ball. I mean, there's this mass of bodies moving, but the ball wasn't in there at the very end. He had already, lost it. And Hawkins goes and he picks it up too. Yeah. I believe he forces it and recovers it.
I'm glad you brought that up. It was a third and one play. He had picked up 3 yards before the fumble. Yep. But you're right. In the press box at the time, I thought, where was the whistle? Why didn't they blow it dead? But it was still, Nebraska's offensive linemen were trying to push him forward.
Yeah, he was moving forward.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he had picked up the first down. So I'm surprised the whistle didn't blow. But it was, it was a good spot for Michigan. It was a heck of a play. Brad, we asked about it after the game, and he says, it's something we've worked on in practice all week. I don't know if this is a every week or weekly thing, but they clearly saw an opportunity here where Adrian Martinez is susceptible to turning the ball over. We saw that with the interception earlier in the game that he threw, and it turned out to be the difference maker.
Yeah, and then, again, getting back to Moody, I mean, Michigan doesn't really do him any favors there. They pick up a few yards on their first play, but then nothing after that. Bring in J.J. McCarthy, and he goes backwards, and what could have been a potentially disastrous play, he loses the ball after he was marked down. But, it made it a 39-yard field goal. It wasn't a chip shot. He makes it, and then Michigan gets their final stop. But Martinez was good. I mean, Aaron, you wrote about it earlier in the week. I mentioned it in my scouting report as well. Like, it was no secret what he was a dangerous player with his arm and legs, and he used them both on many plays. I mean, he pulled a Houdini more than once to then find a player down the field. Often, sometimes there was. There was the escape from the pocket at the start of the play. And then at the back end, Michigan was at times just like a split second too slow, getting the balls that, somehow then found their way into Nebraska receivers' hands. But there was a lot going on in this game that was just exciting. I mean, I've complained about the Saturday night games. It seems like they're not always, live up to the hype, or they're not the most enjoyable to kind of end the night on, but this certainly did not satisfied that regard.
All day yesterday, there was exciting games. Even today, NFL games today, college games yesterday, has just been an exciting weekend of football.
Absolutely. As far as now Michigan is 6-0, we can talk about preseason expectations and all that, but the bottom line is they're going into a bye now. We should mention that Michigan does not play next week, and then they come back and host Northwestern, and then go to Michigan State for a potential top 10 showdown between the rivals. Indiana at home after that, and at Penn State, at Maryland, at Ohio State. Like, suddenly the floor seems like 9-3, which is something that many, many Michigan fans would have signed up for in a heartbeat before the season. So you're just one, it's just wild to me that, how this has changed here midway through the season.
I don't want to be the jinx here, but looking at bowl projections, which I did this evening, both ESPN writers have Michigan going to the Rose Bowl, and Jerry Palm of CBS Sports has Michigan going to the Fiesta Bowl. They clearly think they're high in Michigan right now. And I agree with you. I think the ceiling right now is probably is 9 wins. There's no reason they shouldn't beat Northwestern next
week. The floor,
week.
The floor, I'm saying.
I'm sorry, floor.
Yeah, yeah.
Say ceiling.
Yeah, I just want to be clear.
Yeah, no, and I think we said this last week, I think 9 is a realistic possibility, and they could maybe do 10. And there's no reason they don't beat Northwestern next week. At least they shouldn't. They should beat Indiana, and they should beat Maryland on the road. And then it comes down to those three games, Michigan State, Penn State, Ohio State. We'll see. Michigan State's look really good. I really, from a selfish standpoint, I would like to see them beat Indiana on Saturday. to set up a in you know ideally a 7-0 7-0 game in East Lansing from 2 weeks from now. Now it's important to remember Michigan State's going to have a bye week next week in the lead up to the Michigan State game. But it's very possible both teams will be 7-0 and ranked top 10, maybe close to the top 5 come October 30th.
And another game on the slate right now, that Penn State game, I mean, who knows what the deal is with Sean Clifford too. And obviously we saw on Saturday that Penn State is not the same team without Sean Clifford. So another thing to storyline to follow here is as the season progresses.
Do we think Penn State loses that game if Sean Clifford isn't injured?
No. And
they were coasting, it seemed like.
Yeah, no, I agree. It seemed to turn then, that's for sure.
I only dropped Penn State, I think, one spot my AP ballot this week. Maybe it wasn't enough. I don't know, but I think if Clifford's healthy, they probably would have beaten Iowa, you know? And the same token, I didn't give Iowa as much credit. I think I only moved them up one spot, so.
Iowa number two?
He's got Alabama. I saw it. Yeah, Alabama too.
Dude, they lost to an unranked team.
Right, by 3 on the road. But if you look at maybe I'm a victim of history and everything else. Obviously, Alabama's been, you know, by and far the best program in the country. So I'm not ready to write them off after one loss, a 3-point loss on the road against an SEC school. But we'll see. I mean, they got wins over Florida. They got a win over Ole Miss, who's looking pretty good too. So I think if Alabama can run the table from here on out, they'll be in the. I think there's no question they'll be in the playoff again. We'll see. I think I have Iowa 3 or 4. I mean, I have them in.
Yeah, you had them 3, I think.
Yeah, so you know, we'll see. There's still plenty of season left to play.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I do the Big Ten power rankings or whatever. I'm thinking about it for this week. Like, is it time to just move Ohio State, you know, up to basically 2? Like, I'm gonna have Iowa number 1. I mean, they deserve to be there, I think. But I kind of go strictly by resume. So I had Ohio State a little farther back in the pack just because of, you know, what Michigan State, Penn State had done, you know, some road wins, things like that. Now Ohio State, like, you can't ignore what they've been doing lately as far as just the margin of victory and the yards they're putting up and all that. I mean, it's the best offense in the country, you know, statistically so far. So, it is interesting. Like, that game suddenly it keeps shifting, but it looks kind of closer to what it did. Ohio State's looking more like what you thought they would going into the season as their quarterback has kind of found his groove.
I told you guys not to write them off. I still think they're probably going to be the East champ. No, that Ohio State Penn State game, I think, is going to decide things. Now, maybe Michigan or Michigan State will prove me wrong, but I still think Ohio State's got too many weapons to write them off. I would not be, it would not surprise me if they run the table here, you know, and win the Big Ten championship.
They're the one offense in the Big Ten that is explosive that I think can just put up points on any team, no matter the capability of the defense. I don't think any of the other teams have. I mean, I liked Penn State's offense with Sean Clifford behind center, but with this Roberson guy, that was atrocious to watch. So, yeah, I mean, Ohio State's offense is the real deal and is looking scary again.
That's why I think that Ohio State-Penn State game is going to be so key, because we're going to find out how explosive Ohio State can be against, you know, one of the better defenses in the country in the Big Ten. You know, the winner of that game, I think, you know, will be the clear-cut East.
Well, that's the same date as the Michigan-Michigan State game, too. Whoa! Some Big Ten showdowns on, what, Devil's Night or Angel's Night, whatever they call it these days.
Just Michigan, like, they obviously they win the potential toss-up game with Washington, and then, you know, go to Wisconsin and win a game that, you know, had kind of been marked as a loss earlier in the season. And even this one in Nebraska was a, you know, kind of toss-up, and they won that. Like, they've won them all, obviously. So it's like, and now what we know about Michigan and these other teams, like those Northwestern, Indiana, Maryland games, like, those are like heavily lean towards wins, you know, in my book for Michigan. So that's why I say that's what the floor is. And I think they can get 10, 11 is possible. Anything's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I think anything is possible. But if you go look at Michigan's resume right now, the teams they've beaten and where those teams are right now, Michigan has essentially beaten up on the bottom half of the Big Ten on both sides of the conference. And that's going to be the case again against Northwestern in 2 weeks. So there's, as I said, they'll probably be 7-0, but this back half is going to tell us a lot about how good this Michigan team really is. Because right now you've got you know, Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State all sitting in the top half of the conference. Now Michigan doesn't have to play Iowa this year. But those three games, I think, are going to tell us really how good this Michigan team is. If they're a legitimate, you know, Big Ten title contender, playoff contender, or if they're a, you know, a best of the rest in the Big Ten, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, this was even the problem with Michigan, even when things were going well under Harbaugh, is, you know, the good starts and then kind of fading late. Now, part of that was because Ohio State is always the last game of the regular season. And, you know, the bowl opponents were often tough, but still, you know, they'd have this nice win streak going, and then they'd, you know, drop two out of their last three, three out of their last, whatever it was. So try to exercise those demons as well.
And the difference this year is expectations. Remember, when we back this whole conversation up and talk about what the expectations were coming into this year, Michigan was projected to win probably seven or eight games. Folks, you know, they figured it was going to be a down year. If Michigan can exceed expectations, which Jim Harbaugh really hasn't done a ton since he's been here in Michigan, I think it gives everyone a good feeling going into next year. But again, as we talk about, it seems like every year, at some point, he's got to get them over the hill and get them into the Big Ten title game. Maybe that's this year. Time will tell. But it's clear that Jim Harbaugh, you know, spent this offseason, you know, in serious mode. He made all those changes with the coaching staff, and they're certainly paying off right now.
Yeah, it was a huge weekend in the Big Ten and for Michigan in particular. Is there anything else, you know, Ryan, you wanted to add, or Aaron, from your experience in Lincoln, you know, before we wrap up this episode?
If you have an opportunity, go to a game at Lincoln. It's a cool environment. The town's really cool. It reminded me of Madison quite a bit, except this time it was a full stadium and everything else. But one thing from the game for tomorrow to watch out for: do not be surprised if Michigan has co-special teams players of the week, not only Jake Moody, but Brad Robbins. He punted four times on Saturday for 203 yards, averaged almost 51 yards a punt. He had a 57-yard punt, three inside the 20-yard line. Don't be surprised if they got co-Big Ten special teams player of the week.
That's what, $100 that he's donating to cancer research from one day's work? Gotta love that, too.
There you go. M Live all over the special teamers. Yes, that'll certainly be a major story on mlive.com/Wolverines. Plenty more to come there as we, you know, this is a bye week. In case you're wondering, we still will meet with Jim Harbaugh tomorrow, Monday, as we're recording this here on a Sunday night, and, you know, players throughout the week. So, stay tuned for more coverage on mlive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.